audience, Jefferson, honorable members and guests.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Can you start?
Jefferson,
recording in progress.
Thank you. Good morning, honorable members, support staff, all our guests on the platform. Introduce them. Thank you very much, and everybody is on the platform. You are most welcome to this the Committee on Appropriations meeting. We are engaging a number of departments today. The South African National Defence Force, Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, and National Treasury. We are looking at the evolution of the infrastructure maintenance function from public works and infrastructure to the NDF. So, as a result, let me take this opportunity to welcome the South African National Defence Force on the platform, Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, and National Treasury to our meeting. It's more of a progress report of some sort that we require from this department. This is a follow-up to the oversight visit by the Committee on Appropriations. The first one was on the 13th to the 17th of August 2018, which was made by this committee at SNDF facility in the Free State. And then recently, the committee went to Tshwane between the 19th and the 22nd of April 2022. Just a brief background is that the committee was briefed that there's a process of devolution of powers, especially of maintenance, from public works to SNDF. Just to still Darren, you who's appearing on the video. So then there is that process of devolution. So we therefore say it's a good thing to happen, because we know that capacity is SNDF, it doesn't extend for facilities of the SNDF to be paid by another department for a number of reasons. One, the capacity, but secondly, we hold the view that the facilities of SNDF shouldn't be facilities where civilians can be coming in and out, and so on. It compromises the security of the defense force. So, fortunately, this department started from work towards that, but the concern of the committee was that it seems to be a never ending process. So, the reason why we are meeting today, we called all the departments which are involved, including Mr. Treasurer, to give us a brief overview. So with those a few remarks from my side, you are all most welcome, and we are looking forward to engaging with your ministers. Having said that, Darren, do we have any apologies?
Chairperson, we received apologies from Mr. Khale and Mr. Saropin, and we also received an apology from the Deputy Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, Ms. Nokolo Pivit. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Gary. So, as you can see, you are going to have a transition for Park Works, SNDF, and then deliberations. You are here with National Treasury on the platform because they are part of this process, but you want to receive a presentation from them. If I may, I think we'll request the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure to make their presentation for about 20 minutes, then SNDF for another 20 minutes, that will allow deliberations, questions, and clarifications from the members of SCOA, and then the department responsible for the questions which they will ask to then respond to the specific question. So, I'm not sure who's leading the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Gary?
Good morning.
Oh.
Minister, thank you very much. Good morning, and you are most welcome to the team. And thank you for coming. Thank you very much. So we'll leave the meeting to you. You'll decide who comes in and when. And then after that, we'll then request SNP. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you.
Minister.
Thank you. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson Buthelezi, and also all the other honorable members. And once again, thank you for us to come and give you feedback and progress. Honorable Chairperson, I also visited the Bloemfontein base in April last year and had a meeting with all our honorable generals. And what we discussed was especially the maintenance and the devolution of power of function. Since that, Chairperson and honorable members, the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, through its acting director general, Dr. Alex Moemi, we sent a letter to all national government departments on the 17th of May, where we had then advised all the national departments that we want to increase, or we have increased, the amount for maintenance, especially emergency maintenance. The amount used to be 100,000 rand. That the department would spend, we increased that to 1 million as from the 17th of May, just to assist some of the departments. And then in our presentation on the devolution of the function, we will brief the committee on what has transpired there. From the historical perspective, Chairperson, and from what I could read up from the previous administration, was that this has been a discussion long in the making. And when I had the meeting with the generals in Bloemfontein, I had made a proposal to the generals to say that while we deal with the legal requirements of the devolution of the function, in principle, we agree. I don't think there's a problem there, Chairperson, that in the interim, we then identify specific projects that the Department of Defense would like to be devolved to them. And as the executive authority, I will then approve on a project-by-project basis. So that is where I left it for them to send us the project. So in the interim, the Department of Defense can continue to do some of the maintenance themselves. I have inquired from the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure in preparation for this meeting, Honorable Chairperson, as to whether we have received that list of projects from the Department of Defense, and the answer was that we have not received the list that the Department of Defense in the interim would like to do themselves. I also had a discussion with the Honourable Minister Modise, And she had then requested that she is in the process of familiarizing herself with the operations of the Department of Defense, and that the discussion, we need to give her some space so that she can do that, familiarize herself with the department, and then we can pick up again the discussion around devolvement. So that is where we are with that now, Chairperson. But I've got my full team this morning to respond to all the queries from the honourable members, and I'm joined by Mr. Bartu Maputo, who is the DGG for Construction Project Management. He worked quite closely, and I think he also joined the Portfolio Committee when you did your oversight work. Then we've got Mr. Christopher Lombard, who is the DDG for Facility Management. He is being appointed in June to be the new DDG for Facility Management. Then I've also asked our regional manager, Honourable Chairperson, in Bloemfontein, Ms. Tobile Zulu, also to join us. And then I've also asked our regional manager from Pretoria also to join us, Ms. Tebogo Piri, because they interact also directly with the Department of Defense. And then we have a number of other members from City Director, Facility Management Advocate Nishi Sama also here. And then we also have got the heads of projects all over where we find ourselves, like in Cape Town, Polokwane, where we have got facilities for the FANDF. So that is my team, Chairperson, and I will ask, and then we also got Ms. Naledi Makubela. She is the Deputy Director General for Real Estate Management Services, and also Ms. Sata Saban. She is the DDG for Real Estate Investment Services. So we've got all the senior people here, the people who are responsible for some of the decisions, and we hope, Chairperson, under your leadership and guidance, we're able to find a lasting solution with clear time frames and dates as to when what will be done by who. This whole process of devolvement started way back 2014, and so once the new Minister of Defence is ready, we will certainly engage with that. But there's one section of the Constitution, Section 97, Chairperson, that gives the powers also to the President to devolve powers from one executive authority to the other. And so we need to look at all the legal requirements in terms of GIAMA, the Government Immovable Asset Management, but we will deal with all of those pieces of legislation in the presentation. And then we then have to tackle the time frames by when. But the critical issue, Chairperson, for me in terms of my oversight role, is that we cannot stop any project that is currently in the pipeline, especially projects where funds have been allocated, until we have resolved the devolvement. And I seem to pick that up in the system, that certain projects that from level 1 to 4, the stages when they start the project, that some of the projects have simply been stopped because the position that we must have for the movement first. And we will also take the committee through those projects today to illustrate to you the where they were stopped. And but there seems to be, from what I can see, Chairperson, a number of those projects. And then we hope from a colleague from the Department of Defense that we need to arrange a meeting also with the minister and the generals and all the senior staff so that we work through the details of every project that's currently being stalled. So I'm also looking forward to get the input from the committee today. Is very helpful for the executive authority when I say that this is what Parliament has requested us to do. It does help and strengthen my hand also in dealing with the administration. So we look forward to the engagement, Chairperson, and we, if we don't have all the answers today, we will certainly make it a point that through my office, I will provide the answers to the honourable members and to yourself that we are not able to give today. I will be able to forward to Chairperson the memorandum that we sent to all national government departments on the 17th of May 2022, where we have increased the amount for emergency maintenance from 100,000 to 1 million. So that's just my initial sort of summary, Chairperson, but we can go into detail. And I will ask DDG Bartu or DDG Lombard to do the presentation. They must decide between the two of them. But DDG Bartu, I'll put you over to you, through the Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. good morning, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning to the Honourable Committee. This morning, we have a presentation. This presentation aims at providing this Honourable Committee with the progress as far as the devolution matters are concerned, as outlined by the Minister. And it also focuses on specific projects where the committee had done some oversight, and on those projects we then wish to give a highlight of where we are with respect to those specific projects. Slide of our presentation then gives an outline of what we intend to cover in this particular forum. It mainly revolves around the challenges faced by the Department of Public Works in transferring the infrastructure functions over to DOD. There are a number of steps that need to be followed in order for us to move through that commitment. But from what I have already addressed and picked up from the Honourable Minister, that the Department of Public Works is committed in ensuring that there is a smooth transition. And within this particular meeting, we will then have clear timelines and timeframes in terms of what will be done when accordingly. Slide number three. We then address the devolution of the maintenance function, and we indicate that it has not yet taken place due to reasons that have already been put across by the Honourable Minister. Number one, the Minister of Defence had requested some time to consider the request, as the decision of devolution was then concluded by the predecessor. And in the interim, the Executive Authority of Public Works has committed to consider assigning work to the Department of Defense to manage and handle on a project by project basis. And we then would request and encourage that a list of those projects be furnished to the Department of Public Works so that the process can be concluded as far as the assignment of work is concerned. We then pick up on two pieces of legislation which form the process of the devolution. The first one being the GIAMA, whereby a number of ministers require to then have concurrency around this particular matter, including the Minister of Public Works, Minister of Defence, Minister of Public Service and Administration, and National Treasury. And we are then citing provisions in GIAMA, Section 19 of GIAMA. And then we are also highlighting with respect to Section 97 of the Constitution, which provides that the President of the Republic of South Africa will then can devolve these functions from one minister to the other. And we are now facing the steps that we have embarked upon these two pieces of legislation, and we then request that they then become followed accordingly. The next slide, we address the issue around the project, Honorable Chairperson. As it has been outlined, since around 2021, to be exact, around the 7th of July of 2021, the Department of Defense instructed the Department of Public Works to put on hold all projects that are currently in the design phase. In terms of the project pipeline, we have a number of projects that are sitting in the design development stage, which have been now been put on hold, and we were committed in ensuring that those particular projects get out to the market and construction activities start to commence, and the client can then realize the benefit of utilizing the buildings. But because of the hold that has been put in place from the 7th of July of 2021, there are a number of these projects that are not moving pending the devolution as we have been discussing, that they has not yet been concluded. And those particular projects are now in limbo. The impact of the stop of the project is that there are ongoing operational functions within the Department of Public Works where we had intended to refurbish a particular building. Now that building is still requiring to be serviced and get serviced through the day-to-day maintenance of the Department of Public Works, and we really request that this matter be re-looked at so that there's, at the end of the day, benefit can be maximized on our property. In our presentation, we then outlined that we have 29 of these projects that have been allocated funding for 2022-23 out of a total of 114 projects. 10 of the projects which are under the planned maintenance portfolio are in the design development, and they have now been put on hold, and they are unable to be processed further in terms of procurement and construction pending the conclusion of the devolution. We have 7 projects out of the 29 which are in the construction phases. We have 3 projects out of the 29 which have been completed, and we have 6 projects out of the 29 which have reached final delivery, and 3 projects of the 29 have reached the final account stages. At the moment, what the Department of Public Works is seeking to do is to then complete the order book that we currently have of projects that are sitting in the construction phase and make sure that these projects are completed timeously and they can be concluded and handed over back to the Department of Defense. And as I've mentioned, the 10 projects that are in the design phase are now on hold. The next four slides are merely to make the Honorable Committee have a view of these projects that have been put on hold. And I wish to just, on each slide, pick up the names of the projects. We have the Dinesia military base, which is for repair and renovation of the military base. We also have, in the next slide, we have the Mbombela military area, where the intention was to repair and renovate a number of substations, substation 1 to 9. In the next slide, we wish to highlight the Louis Trichardt Air Force Base in Makado. On the last slide that deals with the projects that are in the design phase, we wish to highlight the project in the Special Forces. And then we also, on this particular slide, which is slide number 8, highlight that for Military 2 Hospital, the department has put in place a total facilities management contract. And this total facilities management contract is, however, not affected by the hold in as far as the refurbishment projects are concerned, because it deals with the TFM aspect of the business and not necessarily the refurbishment project. On slide number 9, we wish to pick on a few projects of concern. The first one being the Free Spy Battalion in Kimberley. This particular project, we had anticipated that it should be completed by now. We had an initial contractor that defaulted on the contract, and while we were putting a replacement contract, the Department of Defense, together with the South African Police Services, put together a program to train about 300 recruits, which are currently based at this particular military facility. And the recruits are utilizing the kitchen equipment, which was intended to be completed by the Department of Public Works. And as it currently stands, we have taken an approach to engage DOD to inform them when will they be completed as far as the utilization of that facility, so that we're able to start with the construction of the kitchen equipment. We're unable to then construct the kitchen equipment while the recruits are still utilizing the same kitchen and facilities. On the next slide, we have the 14-size military facility. And here we wish to address some of the delays that have been experienced on the particular project. And Honorable Chair, I will then also provide letters that demonstrate this particular delay to the POE as portfolio of evidence that indeed the delays did take place and what measures have been taken to remedy the situation. When the project was initially advertised and concluded and the contract was awarded on February 2021, there was a time lag between February of 2021 until June of 2021 for the site to be handed over. And the delays were attributed to receiving of a work permit from the Department of Labor. And we will then provide the necessary letters that indicate that these delays did take place and they did have an impact on the project. However, we anticipate to complete this particular project by the 25th of July of 2023. The rest of the presentation addresses a number of projects which I don't wish to go into each one of them, but I then want to highlight that the information is available and we'll then take any questions at the time of the Q&A when it comes. At this point in time, I would want to hand over to my colleague, Mr. Chris Lombard, if he wishes to add a few points. If he doesn't have any points, then we'll hand over back to the minister.
Honourable Chairperson, Minister, from my end, I've listened to the presentation from my colleague, Didi Jibatu. It is all in order. I'm familiar with its content. I can be supporting and assisting in question times to issues related specifically to facilities management, but also issues related to day-to-day maintenance as the questions come across. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you. And Minister Dilil, I think that's the end of the presentation from our side. Can you go to the next thing? Am I right?
Yes, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me see. Department of Defence, who's leading that team?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Dr. Kamede. My minister has joined. I don't know whether she would like to say a few words before we start. I'm with the CFO, acting CFO, Ms. EME Apozi, and Major General Lidwaba, who will be giving us a presentation. But I would like to give my minister a chance if
he
would like to say something. Thank you.
Okay. Let me properly welcome the Minister of Defense, Honorable Chen Bozisa. Minister, you are most welcome and thank you very much for attending our meeting, because we think that the matter that we are dealing at the moment is a very important one. So I'll take the meeting back to you. Minister, to defense. Then once you have finished your whatever input you want to make, then you can give to your team. Thank you very much, Honourable Minister.
Good morning, Chair. Please allow me not to give my video. I'm in a place where I don't have Wi-Fi. So we taking chances here. It is true that this matter was on the table when I became Minister of Defence. It is also true that I did ask to be given space to familiarize myself and to actually be briefed by defence. I have subsequently had a number of meetings, in particular with the General Lidwaba. I have also met up with the men and women who are constituting the Works Department of Defence. I think for me, defense would be ready. It is not just the matter of the physical project that defense is unhappy about. It is simple things which predate both Minister Jigiri and myself. So we must be very clear here that between the ministers there are no issues. But there seems to me as a newcomer in defense to be issues of trust between the two departments. Issues around the management of time, the management of funds, the quality of the work that is delivered via public works. And when you really look at it, I cannot divorce myself, Honorable Minister and Chairperson, from the position I was in a few years back when we actually, as head of parliament, went to the president, then that is Zuma, and said we want to take our project out of Parliament. So we need to manage that space, because if, for instance, the defense agents with Mr. President say, look, we are accused of not paying services to the municipality, then he has the money straight from treasury to deal with that, goes straight to public works, and yet we are hounded. But we know that if we do it directly, we have this much savings, and they could get it paid. That already tells you that we have issues. So I would like to say that what is outstanding in defense, to really, for me to say, go ahead, let's go for the final, whatever, whatever, is that we are a little bit, Dr. Gamet, slow in putting up the necessary one bodies in finance to be responsible for the contract and for the utilization of the monies on the different projects. As soon as those warm bodies are identified and I can pin names and human beings down, Minister Jalil, I would actually be on the second leg supporting General Dwaba and DOD on this particular one, because in my opinion, when you compare the speed and the quality of where public works has delivered and where defense on its own has delivered, there is quite a difference. And we would make a hell of a saving, which we could divert into the essential services of the defense. So it's something that is unpleasant, but it is something that if we want to reimage the defense, we necessarily need to do. If we are looking at, and Minister Didier, we are looking at the overall structure of the defense, because disasters are increasing. We are always on call out. So that disaster section of the defense necessarily has to be in this environment, because they have to be able not only to help with building bridges, but to even the physical structures. And we do have this. So I would say that, Dr. Gamete, and say, yes, we will be ready. All I need is to get a move on from the finance people, identify those people. Then I can go back to Minister Zine and say, let's push for the last day. But I am convinced with defense that we really do need to take things out. And so that when we are hit for financial and delays and whatever, we can really take the lead. Otherwise, Chairperson, I would say that Dr. Kamede and General Lidwaba must go ahead and present our side of the story. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister, again. I will now, through you, Chair, ask General Lidwaba to make a presentation. Our presentation does give a date or an outline of what we can take immediately and what can be deferred for later. And we are also providing responses to the questions that were raised by FOA.
Kamede, please set your video on. Just want to make sure we are not talking to the robot. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's me, Chairperson. I would like to then give to General Lidwaba to make a presentation, and then we will take it from there. Thank you, Chair. General Lidwaba. General Lidwaba. Okay, I'll try and call General Lidwaba. Probably they have a network problem.
And therefore, Section 97 and Section voted by the Minister of Yama, which requires concurrence, is irrelevant in this case. And we have engaged with the task team led by Mr. Haswani, and on several occasions they said, can we sit down and discuss this? Mr. Haswani said, we are not mandated to do so. So it comes as a surprise that the task team has already gone so far as to quoting another legislation without considering the superior legislation on that. Honorable Minister, Honorable Chairperson, let me then go on with our presentation. I think for the purposes of this presentation, this slide has addressed it. But how do we find ourselves here? This is going to slide number two. How did we get where we are? Slide number two, can we have the slide move, please? Sorry, number five, the next slide here. Number five. In 1996, the DOD intended to introduce certain efficiencies. Now, with these efficiencies, what we did, we then commissioned Bretton Woods. And Bretton Woods advised us to say that, look, outsource what is not core business. And I think we erroneously outsourced the function of the facility. And this outsourcing created tension between ourselves and our different departments public way. But when they were not performing, then we started blaming each other and so on. But the most critical thing is that it placed my minister against the Minister of Public Works. The Minister of Public Works executes, he doesn't account. My minister must come and account on the deteriorated facilities which would have been repaired by DPW. So that by itself also, it is a situation which is not right. But then, on the other side, we must always remember that we are the last line of defense as a defense force. And this capability is required, and I think my minister has indicated earlier that during disaster, we really have to jump in. We cannot rely on the DPW. Now, the decision of outsourcing made us to feel our capability of professionals, which we are now building, fortunately. The DPSA has assisted us to design the structure. Minister, the structure is ready and the people for us to be able to execute. And in 2006, then, after we outsourced, the DOD became concerned, and then the then Secretary of Defense approached his counterpart and said, look, I'm not happy with your performance. Can you correct it? Then they agreed to enter in the Indian Memorandum of Agreement, which was clearly said it's not a legal binding document. But the intention of the memorandum was to say that the DPW can use the book better. The first time goes on, we reach the stage where we say that there's no longer any debt. The Honorable Minister, Honorable Chairperson, and Honorable Members, let me tell you that when we approach the spending contract appropriation in 2018, we have provided a set file of saying that from 2013 to 2014 financial year up to 2017-18 financial year, DPW understand by 1.9 figures on our provision package. So some of the projects Mr. Mpoli is referring to, they spent back, and I will see on my last slide, as far back as 2009. And they are still only at 10% for national security. I'll be explaining further as we go. Can we move over to the next slide, please? The next slide. In here, we are just telling you that where we are saying that over the years, the total background on the was indicated as 11.4 billion. So this is what we were left with, unfortunately, after the two were released by our counterpart. But then the risk for us is that it's becoming dangerous for commanders now. When you look at them having to mobilize troops, it is a difficulty, and it depends on the difficult. Now, let's go to the slide of migration number 7. On the migration slide, what I would like to highlight, Honorable Chairperson, is that we have already started with the migration. And as we said, that we have already taken over the water and electricity. But the funny part is that the bill of water and electricity is from the municipality. As was also raised and said, by itself. And we are saying that no, we are now going to take immediately the rates and taxes and pay them ourselves. But after taking over the water and life, I want to highlight that we have a premium of 350 million friends, and we approached, we had a meeting with the CFO, our CFO and CFO of Public Works, where we have agreed that because you public works are on areas in both water and electricity and rates and taxes. In order to avoid that standards where our department buildings were closed because there's no payment has not been done and so on, we went ahead and asked for condonation that we pay for the areas which we have left before they transfer the contract to us. We pay. But we said to CPW, we would want you to reinvest us. The CFO of Public Works said, by all means, I will reinvest you. Unfortunately, even today, this money has not been coming. We are happy that this money will be available for us next year, and I'll be discussing it as we go. Honorable Chairperson, the other aspect which we are doing in compliance to our minister's direction, she said to us, I want you to take over incrementally, so that you do not take over things which you cannot be able to execute. So we have already created a capability to do rights and taxes because we are paying water and electricity anyway. By the way, we were paying 50 million to public works to provide this service. Currently we are running it at about 35 million. The personnel which is doing that. And the introduction of efficiency speaks to itself that we have got there. Now, we have rates and taxes. We want to take them immediately and we'll be able to run them. The other portfolio we want to take immediately is day-to-day repairs. And this day-to-day repairs, if we take them immediately and there are no issues with it, we should be able to reprioritize, and I'll show you where are we going to be interacting with to address emergency areas. Now, emergency repairs and refurbishment, we say that we require public works to please anticipate and agree that we must together do due diligence to find out which of these projects can be transferred and which one must remain with CPW. I would like to give away the example that where there are contracts that we will definitely have a look. We would not want to embarrass the state. So, Honorable Chair President, on the 1.2 billion which we were providing to CPW in transit each year, from the defense contract, we say that we have never benefited anything except for emergency repairs. There, I can say that I can vouch for them that they have been coming to assist us. Although we still have some areas where we say this is an emergency, we say no, it is not. I'll talk to it later. We can go to, and I say that this one will never be expected, and this, CPW has never accounted to us for 1.2 billion over the years. It's only this year that state level has intervened and say that we are going to pay them on a building, which is in that people work in our favor as well. And next slide, please, number 6. Now, these are the areas where we say that there are these areas. The AMS, I think, have liberalized on it quite a lot. It's only dollarized level 8. Our engagement with the Council for Geosciences has reflected that this is dangerous. But as we see, it could remain stable for the next 100 years, or it could be disappearing. The building could be disappearing and killing 1,000 people now, as we are seeing here. So there we want to intervene urgently, so that we move those people and build the new AMS a stable area. We've already identified the site, we've evaluated it together with the Council for Geosciences for Dollar Mine. It is safe and we'll be able to do that. The next one is the airport headquarters. We have been engaging with the DWO that the Masada that claims to have come maintaining the system. And for the past 3 years, we have never got any joy. And now we say that if we get funding, we should be able to address this. The government lives in Tabatwani. Honorable Chairperson, allow me to say that in 2015, the DWO has given $2.7 million to address the government risk. And one way of addressing the government risk is piping the valve services so that the water must not leak and create sinkholes. That we do not know how far did they go with that. But we have been bothering them to say that Tabatwani is going to disappear in our face if we do not do something, and it's going to kill people. Every 2 months, we have a single developing. Now, during our task team meeting which we had a month ago, I raised this thing with the task team, and they said to me that no, it's not their priority. Their priority is to close the sinkholes which are already there. I said, forget about the sinkholes which are already there. They didn't kill people. Leave them, let us just isolate them. Let us put the piping system so that we are not going to kill people. Because any time if the sinkholes continue, they are going to kill people. Now, we said that if we get that one, we are going to then have a plan and start putting the piping system and the valve system to avoid leakages underneath. The 1 million hospital will not be able to benefit there. We'll talk to it later. But because it is described on its own, we thought that we should just also reflect that it is one of the areas which we are looking at and will resolve the issues there. So, in essence, if that money that is made available, we'll be addressing some of those which are life-threatening and then take it from there. And then in the future years, continue to reallocate this money to deal with that. Next question. Now, on this side, we are just saying that there are opportunities. Before we go anywhere else, there are opportunities for us to be able to do a certain saving. But now, as it stands, our budget for the listing, in 2015, it was around 20 million. We are at about 800 million now, because we have already passed the 750 mark. And unfortunately, this is a runaway budget. It will work in, if we don't intervene now, we're going to have a problem. Now, that is why the defense process said we are putting a strategy, and this strategy is we are going to build our own facilities on our land, which we've already started looking at our land particularly, and move out of the leased facilities. Now, this is also in line with the guidance of Parliament, to say, as far as possible, government departments must move into buildings which are either owned by government or which are owned by government. Now, with our strategy, we want to build the local for land. And where we have to buy, we will buy, but it should be an internal manner. And then, of course, in order to stop this leasing, our request is simply that, please, we are requesting for financial injection. And this financial injection, you have heard that I said that in 2013 to 2018, we were allocated money, and unfortunately, DPW underspent by 1.9 billion. And then, come the budget cut, we were cut from 840 million to, in the financial last year, we were cut to 197, and this year we are about 200 million. But then, when we address the issue which the division was addressed, in 2019, when we saw the projection of how we are going to be funded into the future and the budget cut, already DPW has planned projects beyond 600 million because we had about 800 million in the budget. And now that 800 million were to disappear in the 2020 financial year, 2021 financial year. So we immediately then, from SPC, at a meeting with DPW, had discussion with DPW in 2019, DPW said that, okay, the project has status 1 to 4. They are still in the planning stage. If we freeze them, not stop, if we freeze them, there will be no issue. However, any project starting from 5 to completion, you can't stop because of already committed contractors and so on. We agreed with DPW, and that is how we then communicated back to DPW to say all projects on data 1 to 4, because there's no money and we can't proceed, we are going to treat them. There will be no problem that the state can be taken to court for having not complied to what it is supposed to comply to. Then as money becomes available, we will unfreeze each project by project and fund it and proceed. So this is where we are, and I'm just trying to say that the reason that the project was up, it was a decision made by ourselves and the DPW team, which we said that this is how to intervene in this area. Let me proceed to the next slide. In the next slide, we are responding to your questions now, and in this case, I'm specifically saying that in terms of the group of change, this is like 4 in 2018 or 2017, where we had to report, DPW still remains responsible, but I need to just highlight here that, we also now are intervening. For example, the roof at the pre-military hospital, they wanted to bring it at 2 million. We said no, and we took it over. We used one engineer and 7 artisans. We did it at a cost of 70,000. And we did it at record time. And that roof has been leaking for ages. I mean, that is more than 3 years that it's been leaking by the time that we started to do it. Honorable Chairperson, I would like to then move to the next slide. I see there are drones now.
Yeah.
All right. Now, in terms of the water group type of base for station, I'm getting that the DPG is some of here. Here it was, it has just been, I think, confusion at best. Immediately we got this problem, we requested public works to use the emergency funding which is there. Say, please address this as an emergency. DPW said, no, it's not an emergency. Honorable Chairperson, you will remember when you visited the station and with Mr. Mufoti. Mr. Mufoti said, now I see an emergency. We will sort it out. We went back to Mr. Kaswani and the captain. Captain, can you guys sort out the water supply for station? They wrote back to us and said, no, it is not an emergency. Out of frustration, you know that we went and briefed the Secretary for Defense, and she took a decision that the defense go ahead, go to the project, and then we will withhold the emergency funds from DPW. Because the funds come from us anyway. DPW can only get those funds if we hand them over to them. So now that is the decision now which is taking in terms of what to do. We are going to start at that stage. We are starting with the process of engaging to get the scoping, and then we will then withhold the money accordingly. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Yes, thank you very much. On this slide, the issue of the project, I'm going to jump this because DPW has done that, but on my notes there I'm right and they highlight that how did we get the issue of the status 1 to 4, and it was a collaborative effort between ourselves and the team of DPW. So, and we are very happy with this because it has not embarrassed the state. Next slide, please. Well, I think that we have clarified the issue of the legal, and also when Honorable Minister has some subordinate legislation, we have now another hospital, like we have said, the development will be ready for any finalized coping and everything else. We are good to go there. Next slide, please. Now, in terms of any other matter, we are really making a request that the savings should be made from the university. They come very awkwardly because they become visible around September, October. But then the requirement by legislation is that we must have finished that money by before the beginning of the financial year. Now, we are making a plea that for us to be able to take advantage of the savings we have made, we are saying that students should allow us to roll over that money for at least a period of 3 years so that we can reconfirm whether there are no errors in terms of how much exactly do we save. It could be 300 million, it could be 365, as we have shown this year. Then we will then confirm after 3 years to say that yes, over the past 3 years, from the municipality, we have saved so much. Therefore, request President to remove this amount of money from earmark and from accommodating earmark to facilities within the logistics division, where we can then be able to roll out this project. So we would know that each year there would be additional 365 million which will be made available. Then any other work which from day-to-day maintenance also, bringing that together, and then we can be able to make a strategic intervention into the facilities of the defense force. So that is what we are when we are requesting that should happen. Then number 17 slide, please. Chairperson, this is where we are just highlighting the concerns we have with our relationship. We ask CPW to give us the project we are executing, and we tell them 54 planned maintenance projects. And what we found is the situation where CPW has already spent 1.12 billion on consultancy only, for professional services only. And the projects have been there for 15 years, in 2005. This is a major concern for us. That is, why do you appoint so many professionals to do so many projects and commit so much money for projects on consultancy and there's no deliverable? Now, ordinarily, if you do the scoping of a project with professionals, if they are really, really too slow, it should be at least 18 months. That is slow. After 18 months, they should be able to go to the market and then be able to get the So we say to ourselves, this doesn't make sense. Then this is a good indicator that they are going to need additional 1.4 billion in order to review the scope, which was done 15 years ago, and then only then they can then determine by when can they be able to start the project. And we find this that this is not acceptable for us. What we will do, it will be to suggest the projects which are ready and allocate the money to those projects so that they can start. Then we can manage it going forward. If it is a very allowed to proceed, then we mean that we are going to spend 2.5 billion without seeing anything in the medium term. Now, I need to just answer one last question from Mr. Mkhonto about the sum of the project. I think Mr. Mkhonto, let us just be very, very correct in our text. The Kimberley kitchen, which now we have said that the police can utilize it, has been outstanding for more than 4 years. And the problem was the equipment, the kitchen equipment and your professional services there. They did not talk to one another, they don't talk the same language, and those things are remain dysfunctional. So indeed, I think we need to capture that one properly. And then, Mr. Mukoto, I think you need to also recognize that the total facility management concept came with the design transformation. And it took 3 years for DPW to agree and implement. We congratulate you on that one, and we think that that is the way to go. Total facility management is that what we can also do, is helping a great deal. But I think also let us rest our pride, because we are the ones who started this and requested it to be today. Fourteen sites in Dhaka. That is the honorable chairperson. Before the former President Mandela passed on, we approached DPW and said, DPW, the military is going to utilize 14 sites for burying Mandela because they have made this issue. If he passes away, he's going to be buried in his hometown. And the only place where we can host the soldiers to do that is the So, Honorable Chairperson, I am there and I would like to say that the Defense Force is ready to take over. And like I said, the other projects we need DPW to see agree to engage so that incrementally by next year we will have sorted out our agreement, and also where we have a disagreement, we'll have amongst ourselves as officials, not at this level, not at the level of the minister, or not at the level of the DC. At our level as officials, we can sort out this because we know the details. And when we approach our principals, we approach them with options which our principals can be comforted with, and they don't have to talk past one another. For now, if we continue in this way, I'm afraid it will take 10 years, 20 years, and we will not see any progress.
Thank you, General, and Honorable Minister Odise. That's all from your department. I move to the next item. Minister Odise. That's fine. I take it. If she comes back, she will indicate. National Treasury, Honorable Minister, I was saying that all from RAC Department before I allow questions from the Honorable Members on something that you'd like to add.
Chairperson, are you addressing it to me?
Oh, sorry. No.
I don't think we have anything to add.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
I think we are also, will field questions if necessary.
Perfect. Let's do that. I know there's National Treasury on the platform. National Treasury, any comments before I proceed?
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. Randan Randera from the National Treasury Public Finance Division. We are fine, Chairperson.
Thank you. thank you so much for the presentation from the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, led by Mr. Delini, and the Department of Defense, led by the Minister and Minister. Can I have indication from members who would like to have advice on the presentation?
Mary? Shake your hand. Let's go, Anna. Matapa. Kaiso.
Kaiso. Okay, any other oral member?
Did you get me, Mr. President?
Yes, I got you as number three oral member. Yes, Honorable Mare, please break the ice.
It's cold, I was both breaking. It is cold. Thank you, Chairperson. Now, it's only one question. I've listened to everything that's presented. I just want a little bit more detail about the one military hospital. Because the consequences of that hospital not being in place to do its functions has wider repercussions. Can you hear me, sir? Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Please start again. Can you hear
me
now?
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. My, I will be very short and brief. My question is more around about the two military hospital again, because the functions that must be provided for that hospital, as we've seen ourselves, couldn't be done due to the ongoing project that is not ongoing at the moment. And it has wider reputations in the sense that they must use outside facilities to do the functions that the doctors must provide. And that also has a great management problem in the sense of control where the doctors and specialists is working in the week. So if I just can get a more highlight on that project. What are we going to do to get that project finished? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Very good morning from Durban. Yeah, Chairperson, one my question to the Department of Defense, but let me start off by congratulating Minister Modisa for taking a stand on this matter and trying to accelerate this process of resolving these issues that they are concerned, because Chairperson, many departments, the South African police services have raised concerns about how big works. And this is not an indictment on our Minister of Public Works, his recent appointment. But, you know, the health department has raised concern, the basic education department has raised concern, and the Department of Defense. So all departments have been raising concerns about, the, you know, the public works not being able to deliver timeously, appropriately. Now, my first question is to the Department of Defense. Given the challenges that you are facing, what would you estimate the total loss in terms of escalation and of projects that are not completed timelessly or not even started that your department faces on an annual basis? I know it's going to be difficult, but maybe Treasury should be able to give us an idea of exactly what is going on. And then I'd like to hear from the Department of Public Works, you know, the fact that these concerns and complaints have been raised over so many years, with many departments calling for them to have their take responsibility for their buildings, for the maintenance and things of that nature, because of the failure of the Department of Public Works to be able to deal with these things appropriately and timeously. What have you as identified as the challenges that Department of Public Works faces that you're not able to deliver on this? That's my second. Then the third thing is that I'd like Treasury to explain what the Department of Defense has just highlighted on the savings, particularly on municipal charges and things. Now, that is a benefit to that department itself. And what do they foresee as a problem as the request that has been made for a rollover so that it could benefit this department who could use it for maintenance and other purposes? And then the other thing is I think I'd like to know, and I'd like this idea, Chairperson, we've raised this time and time again, the amount of money that we spend on leasing premises when we should actually as a state own these premises. So that's a very, very good decision by the Department of Defense. I would like the Public Works and Treasury to comment on that, whether that is not what we should be doing in all departments, owning these premises rather than the exorbitant lease that payments that we make annually. And I'd like the Public Works to comment on what the Department of Defense pays to Public Works and the amount of savings that they are highlighting that they make by doing it. And a good example is, I think, the one building which needed some renovations on fairs, and what they said, 2 million or 1.2 million cost them 70,000 rand. I'd like them to explain these things because, I mean, you know, we have first world constraints in the country currently. Every rand that we can save can go towards, you know, more development in the country. So I'd like them to explain, you know, how is it that the Department of Defense can save so much of money, but public works cannot and doesn't. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Honorable Sheikh, ma'am. Honorable Lenzana, please come in.
Sorry, Mr. President. I don't know. It looks like if it's working.
Yeah, we can hear you, Honorable Lenzana. So let's support that as well.
Okay, no, it's good if you can hear me. So, but let me appreciate the presentation and also appreciate also the engagement between the two ministers. I enjoyed listening to them. Just three questions, sir. Two are going to both public works and infrastructure and also honorable people. If they can share for us their understanding of Giyama, also tabulating as they perceive the advantages and disadvantages of Giyama in relation to each department. I don't want to echo what Honorable Hickman is just saying, but it's almost in line. Then the other one, which I think is the second one by later, is that if the two departments could showcase their capabilities and capacities, as both, this is an allegation, but it's not an allegation, because I have proof of it. Both departments are not good spenders if you look into their cash flow. What they normally project quarterly at the end of each quarter is not what they would have projected in terms of spend. And then the last one, Chair, goes to public works and infrastructure. Is there no possibility of synergizing the national and public works department and activity? I'm raising this, Chair, because if you go to Matatien, for instance, you would have an institution there, Maluti Clinic, held by the National Department of Public Works. But now, the provincial Department of Public Works cannot come in to fine-tune other issues. And now you end up having a white elephant structure within in the midst of a challenged health department in the same area. Also, when talking Giyama, if the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure can also touch their relations with the Department of Home Affairs, because also in Matatia, you would notice that we are suffering if that one, Matatia is in the border of Lesotho and the Eastern Cape. We cannot control migration in that area because there are no physical buildings. And it is also alleged that it is the Giyama which is holding everything into ransom. Then, Jefferson.
Thank you, Honorable Lenzana. Okay, Honorable Matapa.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. I humbly request to keep my video off. The system kept on warning me that my network is not stable.
Perfect.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to yourself and the honorable members and the management team from Treasury, DOD, and DPWI. Chair, I'm going to be very brief because I am a bit worried and concerned. Whilst appreciating the presentation, my concern stems from the fact that if you listen carefully to Comrade Major General Lizova's presentation, he's going through pain. It's painful for him to make this presentation. And one can almost say he's making a case, and unfortunately he's making a case for a decision that has already been taken. Now my question is, what are the difficulties between the officials in DOD and DPWI to see eye to eye, even best, to implement what at strategic level has been agreed to as a way forward? And I understand it's pain, Chair, because as an example, in my constituency of Centurion, Valhalla, which is a military area, falls under my PCO. And when residents in the area complain, the city will say, no, we can't service or we can't assist, is the responsibility of the Department of Defense. And when we try to assist and engage with the Department of Defense, you find that some of these functions are the responsibility of public works and infrastructure. And in that instance, their hands are tied, the hands of DOD, and they are unable to assist to eradicate those particular challenges that led to the constituency complaining. So I'm just worried, again, Chair, because if you again listen to Major General Lekwaba, his presentation almost echoed the same sentiment that were echoed when we did a site inspection in Pretoria, as you earlier alluded, Chairperson. Now, my question is, based on that site inspection, what happened to the advices and recommendations that those meetings between all three departments, because Treasury was there as well, and the community, and the committee rather, I beg your pardon, how far are those recommendations in the line of being implemented or considered? I'm just worried with the example of a kitchen that took over 20 years to be fixed, and probably even today is still not fixed. It seems as if we're going to enter into this talk show continuously to a point that it becomes more like a broken record. But again, like Honorable Sheikh, I will commend the push by the Minister, Mayor Sandy Mudise, and we'll urge you to continue and ensure, Honorable Mudise, that all the decisions at the strategic level that are taken are implemented. And I think what you are showing is good signs of robust oversight, and we commend you as far as that is concerned. Chair, the last point is on the issue of the 1 mil, Honorable Mare raised the issue of the status at 1 mil. Again, we were taken to the REM. We witnessed what is happening there. Also, recommendations were made. Commitments were made. Can we be taken into the confidence of the DOD since our last visit? What has happened in terms of having this project move? Because if I remember correctly, Chair, there was an indication that at some stage, the one military hospital was a preferred healthcare provider for heads of state across the continent. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that status has been lost. Now, in my view, sitting in the National Assembly, one of the most important factors that we consider is the reputation of the country, continentally and globally. And I think for me, that is a step closer to damaging the reputation of the country as a preferred healthcare provider to heads of state across the continent and globally. So for me, it is important but just to know what steps have been taken since then to now, as we also know that the Joint Standing Committee on Defense had also called for either consequences on the project or maybe a fast-tracking of bringing closure to that project. And I did raise this issue on a lighter note when we were there in Falala, that there is a child that would have been born. Now they are in school, probably three grades since starting school. That project is still happening. Probably they'll get to matric and that project will still be not completed. But it's a problem because there are funds that are being spent, and it cannot be that we'll have an asset under construction eventually. At some stage, there needs to be conclusion and closure to that project. I will pause there, Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity. And once again, thanks to the ministers for joining us on a Friday special in this committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Matafa, Honorable Kaizo. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think Honorable Matafa and other honorable members have taken my words, but I just want to make a few comments here, Honorable Chair, and thanks for the Department of Defense led by Honorable Medisa and Public Works Minister. So we indeed, Honorable Chair, we have been to a oversight visit, and I have been listening to the report presented by the General Idwaba. Like Honorable Matafa is alluding to, has alluded to, it's quite a very painful type of presentation, and one could pick up from that presentation that there seem to have been problems at the beginning after we have left. And also agreed with that there are certain things which must happen, which actually did not start to happen quite nicely. And listening to the editor administrative level, where he said when he started this report, unfortunately, the two heads of department, administrative level, could not sit down and concretize what's supposed to happen up until this now this uncomfortable situation that he picks up happening between the two ministries with a particular information which was actually supposed to have been shared before this meeting, and that resulted in a sort of a discourse. So, but with the good work that the Ministry of Defense has started and shown commitment, highly commended. We do not really expect that there will be a repeat of this presentation which was made in Tabatswani, Tabapazwa. Tabatswani. So, unfortunately, there has to be a repeat of the presentation, of which we were actually looking much more on advanced progress on what was presented before the committee. Because remember, Defense Force is one key custodian of security country. So the more these delays takes place and shape, and an exchange of debates, but then this has to do more with the security of the country, which then the DOD is supposed to execute without failure. We can imagine if we can even. We struggle to deal with disaster internally, caused by climate change. And so what about war? So we can't fix the kitchen. So it's a problem for me, for 20 years and other stuff. So because of the administrative, you know, challenges there and there, well, of course, one appreciates the fact that the Minister of Defense does the one of the challenging area is that of the warm bodies in the finance. So the sooner the speed at which that has to be executed, you know, would be appreciated, that such warm bodies are immediately found so that things get stabilized in terms of finance, because already it does tell us that now the history of underspending in the DOD also has to do with a particular capacity in certain field of specialty of finance. So we can't get things correct as far as expenditure and spending is concerned if we do not have that person in that office. So now, other than that, I don't think there should be any, excuses from departments for to work for those. Because when I listened to this presentation, my understanding was that, no, okay, only an administrative process now would immediately follow after two political offices actually clarified and gave a nod to the process to be fast tracked. So that requires just submissions, not court submissions. I don't think there's any process of court here in the in what we are discussing. So all this is going to be an administrative process that should follow, which are submissions. And why should they take 6 months to happen? It means there's something that has not happened quite correctly somewhere, somehow, or some resistance to some extent, which is not supposed to happen. And I think maybe it's proper that we definitely have to give deadlines now. So that things must move fast. Otherwise, it's going to create a problem of spending, a problem of underspending will be perpetual. If things do not move now, Chair, it's a warning. So I want to agree with the recommendation of DOT that any savings should rather be spent for them so that they look forward to spend that, especially from the municipalities. Treasury must assist so that the DOT is not being stifled in terms of finance. But the other main thing on spending is that there shouldn't be underspending. Although we understand that there is a lack of warm bodies in some positions, but the issue of underspending is problematic with us as a committee. But then the transitional process should immediately unfold smoothly and must move to a precision point. Otherwise, we're going to round around in cycles as a committee. We cannot allow that. So let me pause at that stage, Honorable Chair. I don't want to repeat the areas that we traveled when we did oversight. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Paiso. Let me just check any other honorable member who would like to come in before I do. No. From honorable members who have already made input, anything on the side, Honorable Mare?
I'm fine, sir.
Honorable Sheikh Imam? Honorable Lengana? Honorable Matapa?
Not about the I'm fine.
Okay. Honorable Matapa? Honorable Matapa, Honorable Kaiso. Okay. No, thank you. Let me again join the honorable members in appreciating the presentation from both the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. And led by two ministers, Minister Patricia and Minister Tanmoti. Thank you very much. And I'm sure with all our students, this is a very important engagement for a number of reasons. But in retrospect, I think we should have invited portfolio committees, public work and infrastructure and portfolio defense. Because most of these things need to be followed up on an ongoing basis. Parliament means that we as in the Committee on Appropriation and the Committee of Parliament who gives appropriation of budget to different departments. So when we do that, we want to one because we think that there is a need of that money that in that department. Two, the assumption that we're having is that money will be used for what it is, it's intended for. Three, that money will be used effectively and efficiently. And lastly, that the people who are supposed to get that service from government, they are going to get that service in the year under budget, not the following year. And so when those things happen, when those things don't happen, we then get very much worried and concerned, because it means the money that was appropriated by Parliament is not being used at least during the time that it was supposed to, or is not being used effectively and efficiently. Hence, sometimes you find it as others don't find it. I just thought let me give that a brief preamble. I think let's also appreciate the increase of maintenance budget from 100,000 rand to 1 million rand to all departments. Because seriously, a minister, you hear department saying that they're waiting for Department of Public Works to change a group to put the hand of the door to buy cheap. So I think that will go a long way in trying to solve that problem. I hear the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure saying that in principle she agrees with the principle of devolution in general, but again, in particular, the one that was given in the event, and only it's a good tip. And as an interim measure, the question where the minister says that the Department of Defense, while they're still trying to resolve issues, should present the list of those projects that they want to do, so that we don't have projects which are stalling. I think again we should welcome that. Right. I'm a little worried about the opportunity being taken by the Department of Defense of stopping some projects. I'll tell you why, because these projects are very much time dependent. Before you know, the end of the year comes and you find that we are guilty of understanding. I know you have explained that some of this understanding is because of the things which are not under your command. But you also don't want the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure to say, no, whatever reason you have chosen to stop this project. Because what will happen, the National Treasury, for instance, as you are saying, that you end up being punished as a department by cutting off your budget for something.
also to DPWI, the question that I would like, obviously, what I just said, I would like, in particular, the minister to comment on that. But here are the questions that I'm saying, what are the general problems, the challenges that public works faces in execution of its responsibilities? And what is it doing to try and resolve those challenges in general? And obviously, I think it's been particularly with defense. Ken project on design development stage was stopped. I just wanted to check whether we do understand the opportunity cost of spending those of stopping those projects. Was then these are infrastructure projects. These are projects which are meant to create employment. These are projects which the president has identified for the ERRP, and obviously some implications for business, and some implications for small businesses, and so on and so forth, because this is what we also do with the private sector. So I'm just checking those 10 projects which on design development were stopped. The reasons thereof, and whether we do understand the implications of that, and what, how do we need to do those things. I think the big one is that as we the soldiers continue to live in conditions which are not very good, which are not conducive for an army which should prevent the territorial integrity of our country. So, stopping of any project will have those unfortunate consequences. Minister, as this committee, one of the things that we are faced with is the question of understanding. And we've identified the possibility of project management schemes, of contract management. Since that department deals with a lot of these construction, those infrastructure projects, can we check from you if there are any programs which are meant to try and better this situation? It is a big problem throughout government, but talking in particular about that department, would you agree that the project management schemes are a problem? And if you do agree, what are the initiatives that the department is having? Listening to presentations, especially from the from the officials from both departments, they said that there are issues of trust to the department and so on. So listening to the presentation, I see a lot of things, honorable members, that thing has in bureaucracy. I was just imagining a South African listening to us talking about this thing, pointing fingers at each other. One is not doing this, but why you say in the same government? So I'm saying that's a problem. I would like to hear the minister talking to this, how to resolve. Having said that, here's the proposal, minister. It seems to me like you know the problem and what could be achieved. It looks like the two ministers think should happen, but they don't happen. So can we, and I will say in 2 months, have you back, ministers and your department? We'll request you to come back when you do the MPS, where you've identified these things, because the vital mentality is you've identified these things and also giving found solutions to them and coming back to the committee to say these things have been resolved. I
2 months' time, we'll definitely be requesting you to come back. You get a room, whether in Tswane or on one military base, you lock the room and you identify these things and you deal with them, and then you give us a solution. Parliament has appropriated money to the department. I don't think that we are doing justice to our people if we don't resolve these things, and these things are held in bureaucracy, so to speak. We definitely cannot, as Parliament, resolve these issues. We appropriate money, and if the issues of legislation, please bring those issues to us as Parliament. But at the end of the day, you know that you as executive, you are the ones who should be championing this thing. Parliament has appropriated money, and Parliament would like to see that money being used effectively and efficiently. Parliament would like to see audit findings disappearing, adverse audit findings disappearing. So, and ministers, we want to see that task force, and we'd like to hear a last response to that. It's very clear that there is a lot of towing and towing between between the official, and in most cases they're not agreeing, and that's why I'm saying that Peresa from the podcast office needs to bring those departments together, and there's no doubt that the issues that have been raised by the Department of Defense of saving 50 versus 25 million rand, things done in the budget, within the budget of 70,000 rand, when public works had said the money had quoted telephone numbers and so on. So we are about spending, but we are about stretching each and every rand and trying to get the most out of the rand. There's a saying in Zulu, Prime Minister, who says, "Mkhonto wegwala uphelele nje." All of what they said is that the fear of a coward gets finished before it even goes to the battlefield. It's about overplanning. It's about overplanning, and things don't happen. Perhaps the 2.5 billion rand spent on consultants without project. We can't defend that. We can't have 2.5 billion rand in Ukraine and its own consultants and so on. Even before looking at the details of that, I know that there are a lot of problems in that.
Yes,
yeah,
sorry.
Please, let's mute all of us again. Okay. Minister, I believe the question of being disability can always be government, and we are really pleading with the department to more and more move towards getting buildings, because there are buildings, you know, for the fact that buildings owned by government which are empty, as it were, because they are owned by particular departments and so on. Can we just get into that drive of owning our own buildings, or with government is forever in it? I think that's more effective efficient for government in general. So let me leave it at that, and I'll start by asking and Minister to make her comments. And then after that, ask Minister Mugise to make her comments and responses, and then after that, I'm sure we'll go back to the official and go to the officials of public works and infrastructure, and then to the officials of defense. Minister, please your comments, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, for the questions and advice.
Sorry, Minister, before you come in, I think I needed to stress this one. I think what is coming out very clear from now there, and we are looking at solutions from thank you.
Thank you, our honourable chairperson. I want to commit on my side, working together with Minister Modise, that we have tackled some of the problems already, and that I'm thankful, chairperson, for the time of 2 months for the two ministers to come back to you. And I will do everything in my power from public works and infrastructure to ensure that we improve the conditions of the Defence Force, especially our soldiers that we rely on. And like Minister Modise has said, with a country with many disasters that we are facing, the Defence Force are always there to provide a service. Honourable Chair, just around the issue of the military hospital, what I've been able to read up, Chairperson and Honourable Members, is that on the 23rd of October 2014, that this hospital was devolved to the Department of Defence. What I've also read up, and it's mentioned in the slide by the Department of Defence by General Ladwaba, we also mention on page 15, slide number 5, that the project has been frozen, awaiting the outcome of the alleged corruption and subsequent actions, with specific reference to possible claims from the consulting firm that may lead to fruitless expenditure. It will be very good if we can have a copy of that report, if it's available, so that we can begin to action the outcomes of those of that report. So that is my response on Military One. I'm not sure with Military One Hospital. I'm not sure whether the committee has received any report regarding the alleged corruption in with this project. Honourable Chair, I want to make another general statement around the devolution of powers. Now, yes, the Department of Defence correctly quoted many pieces of legislation, GIAMA, there's also the Infrastructure Act of 2014, they are all the Defence Act. But all of these acts are subject to the Constitution. And so what trumps all of these acts is Section 97 of the Constitution, which reads that the President, by proclamation, may transfer to a member of the Cabinet, A, the administration of any legislation entrusted to another member, or B, any power or function entrusted by legislation to another member. I see that is as our first task as the ministers to start that process, so that we get the constitutional function transferred by the president. Of course, take a rest together with existing pieces of legislation. So that is the first process that we need to start. I've got experience now with the Minister of Home Affairs, who has started the Section 97 process with the President to transfer the functions to the Border Management Authority. But while this process is going on, to answer another question about my GL, we have devolved the land ports, 6 land ports of entry already to the Department of Home Affairs. So that I see as the first task for myself and Minister Modise. And we will work together on that and then come and give the Portfolio Committee a briefing in 2 months' time on the progress that we are making there. Then another big failure here, Chairperson, is the non-functionality of the task team, as mentioned by General Ladwaba. Now, I went to go and check quickly the members that were supposed to serve on this task team is a Mr. Jacob Maroha that has left the department a long time ago, more than 3 years, and Mr. Basi Hosiana, who was the chief director of the user demand management. And the first thing that we will have to do from public work is to put on new members on the task team, starting with, I think that the director general to be represented on the task team, so that we have got people that can make decisions and attend direct, especially according to the procurement processes, where both ministers are not allowed to be involved in the procurement process. So that needs to be rectified, and that we can do as soon as possible. Honourable members also raised the issue of understanding. National Treasury can confirm that it is across government departments. Just last year, we failed to spend about 43 billion rand. So I agree with the honourable members that we need to put processes in place to avoid the underspending, and that with the general problems that we have within GPWI concerning facility management, I will admit to that, honourable chairperson, and we have now devised, or we have developed a new policy to deal with facility management called total facility management, which we are concluding by the end of September. The problem within DPWI on spending with facility management, they are guilty of overspending on the budget. And that is why the Deputy Minister and myself has made an intervention, because there are a lot of inflated prices for government. Wherever government is procuring, we pay more than the private sector, sometimes 10 times, 50 times more. And the new acting director general, Dr. Moemi, we had a discussion with him, and we looked at our guidelines for the ACOM guidelines that are being used in the private sector, to give you ranges of prices that you pay for construction. And the intention is that we will correct those guidelines and monitor and make sure that we don't have inflated prices when we procure for government. So that is one of the actions that we are currently busy with, because it happens a lot in the public service where government are being overcharged. Then just on the issue of the stopping of the project, I will make an appeal that we lift that so that in the meantime we can continue with the project. But also I will make a request if the Department of Defense can give a list of projects that they would like to do themselves while we are sorting out the constitutional provision. It can be done, and that is the list that I've requested when I met with the generals in April and Bloemfontein. Then, Chairperson, we can tabulate those requests, and you know where there's a need for DPWI to assist with technical professional help, we can certainly do so. illustrate how we are working with the Department of Defense. Honorable Chairperson and members, the Department of Defense, together with DPWI, we are rolling out all the rural bridges right over the country. The Minister of my Defense and myself, we went to the handover of one bridge in KZN. We also took National Treasury with us to show National Treasury the impact of rural bridges on the rural community. And the Department of Defense brings all their professionals, all the engineers, architects, and everything. And it takes the Department of Defense 6 weeks or sometimes less to build a bridge. So there is enough examples of how the capability that is in the Defense Force that we need to use more. In terms of the utility bills, water, electricity, that function was devolved to the Department of Defense on the 1st of April 2020. That is what I can see in the documentation. And the way we deal with utilities, DPWI pays up front on behalf of all government departments. Then we need to be refunded by government departments. For the information of the committee, that Public Works is owed more than 3 billion rand from government departments that are not refunding Public Works. To solve this problem with defense, my proposal, Honorable Chair and Members, is that we need to take the CFO of Defense and the CFO of DPWI to meet as soon as possible to verify the amount that the Department of Defense claim that they are saving now. Because we, in Public Works, we are paying based on the bills that we receive from the municipality. And yes, there are a lot of discrepancies, because sometimes even municipalities overcharge. That's why the CFO has got a process where we verify all the bills that we receive from municipalities. And that one can also be done as soon as possible, honorable members and honorable chair. The issue of trust. Yes, it has evolved over many years. And I will make an appeal to both DPWI and the Department of Defense officials that we need to work on that trust deficit, because we mustn't allow that our differences interfere with the delivery of services in general to the Department of Defense. That is why I will make sure that we replace the members on the task team, and then so that we can start rebuilding that trust with the Department of Defense. Now, you raised a very important point, Chairperson, about letting in. Government spends 5 billion rand a year on letting in from the private sector. What we receive from letting out our own building is just over 80 million rand a year. And therefore, at the end of September, we are launching a new program called Refurbish, Operate and Transfer in partnership with the private sector. We have identified as a pilot 5 buildings within Pretoria where we are going to partner with the private sector and sign long-term leases with the private sector between 20 and 25 years. The private sector will then repurpose those buildings for us. And from government, we will guarantee see the private sector, that we will make sure that we move government departments into government-owned buildings. On leases, there are many problems which we have been able to attend to. There's been an overcharge again by private landlords of government. And as of the end of December 2021, we have stopped all month-to-month leases because the Auditor General of South Africa advised us that to pay on a month-to-month basis, it is irregular expenditure. And since January 2022, we had renegotiated these overpayments and overcharging of government, and so far we've been able to save 273 million for the USA department that has been overpaying on all of these rentals by instituting a guideline for the RODA framework that is also being used in the private sector as to how much you are allowed to charge per square meter. Government in some cases has been paying 10 times more. So now we are still negotiating. We had 1,800 month-to-month leases. We have renegotiated with the landlord and we have brought that down to just under 100 leases. And I will go back, honorable members and chairperson, to go and look at all the leases where the Defence Force is renting from the private sector. And we will scrutinize those leases and we will give a report back to the Minister of Defence and to the generals about what our findings are as far as that is concerned. I wanted to ask, in terms of especially the procurement details and the other details, we have also been joined by the Chief Financial Officer of GPWI, Mr. Mandla Sotole, and through you, Chairperson, if the Honourable, if the officials can please then respond to some of the details requested by the honourable members. But my commitment is there. I will work with Minister Mojise. We've got a very good working relationship and we will try our best, chairperson and honourable members, to solve all of your concerns. I thank you.
Thank you, and Minister. I said I'll allow Minister Mojise to come in, but I just think that's to allow this flow from you. Let's allow your officials to respond to the issue that has been raised. And then Minister Mudisa, there with us, then after that you come in and with Latif. Thank you very much, Minister Latif. Please finish the question to the WI. Minister, is there any particular member would like to, from your team, would like him or her to...
Sorry, Honourable Chair, Batu or Mr. Lombard, any one of you that want to respond to the maintenance issues? And also, the one question was from the Honourable Chairperson, the impact of the project that was stopped. And if that is lifted, what will the department be able to do in partnership with the Department of the Court to catch up on the project that was stopped? Over to you.
Minister, it's Chris Lombard here. I'll take the first bite at some of the questions. Honourable Chairperson, Minister, honourable members and colleagues on the platform, I'd firstly like to...
Mr.
Lombard, yes, Chair.
Take the cue from the Minister. Want to see you. Good. Thank you.
There I am. Thanks very much, Chair. So, Chairperson, I'd like to start with Honourable Marais with respect to One Military Hospital. I would have thought and would have hoped that it can come at a later stage where we have some feedback on the total facilities management strategy that we've implemented on the One Military Hospital. The feedback that I have is that it is quite, going quite well in that respect. I understand that there are issues other than that, but I think going forward, since it is a very a specific strategy that the Minister also alluded to, our TFM strategy, and yes, we are also planning and is in advanced stage of doing the same for two military hospitals. So that is part of our service delivery improvement process that we are starting to implement in the facilities management space. Then the second one, which might be more construction related, but since I'm a professional construction project manager with quite extensive experience, I would like to just talk to one item, and that is from member Sheikh Imam, where he was talking about the 1.2 million versus the 70,000. And from my experience, there must surely be some missing parts that we need to look at, because usually for a project when it is scoped and there's a bill of quantities, you are very assured of the numbers that come in terms of the indices pertaining to deliverables. And I think it might be a matter of that the assessments that were done and the work that was done from a public works and infrastructure perspective would probably differ in scope. And I'm not saying that it couldn't have been done for 70,000 rand. I'm just saying we need to be realistic in terms of the scoping, what was given to the consultants in terms of the brief and the outcome of the work. And that is something that we could discuss and that we could look at. It could be a valuable learning experience for me as well. Then in terms of specifically day-to-day maintenance, I think Chairperson and Ministers and members and colleagues, I think this matter is very close to my heart. I'm fairly new in the department, but I'm convinced that I need to have a sit down with the General Edwaba and his team to give consideration of what is captured in terms of the definition of day-to-day maintenance. Because just by virtue of the table that I saw in the presentation, the 340 million seems to me a huge amount for day-to-day maintenance. But what could happen, and the Minister has alluded to over expenditure on day-to-day maintenance, if indeed projects don't happen in terms of repair and maintenance and capital projects, which is not the domain of facilities management, you could find a situation where we tap into the day-to-day maintenance budget, we overexpend on that whilst we are underspending on capital investments and that type of projects. That balancing act we must discuss, and it can even go to the level of the tasking that the Minister has alluded to in order to address those issues as well. In terms of service delivery in general, I'd like to make a comment that with the raising of the bar from 100,000 rand to 1 million per incident, I think it is another very innovative way to put across some of the ability to the Department of Defence in order to deal with those type of incidents and to ensure that the state of repair is better in terms of day-to-day maintenance. And I'd also just like to make a comment that in the budget that we have as a department, of, it's a fairly sizable budget, we have to look at 81,000 odd assets. Now, I just looked at the table that was given to me by my team. In the Department of Defense over the provinces, we're sitting with over 26,000 assets that must be serviced with very limited budgets. So I think we must find each other in a discussion around facilities management specifically, where we find how we can find other means of addressing this matter and look after a huge portfolio of assets that is currently in very many instances in a bad state, that old infrastructure, But let me just stop there for now. Chairperson and ministers and members, I can come back after my colleague has talked most to some of the other issues. I will look through the list again. I made 5 pages of notes, and I'll pick up where I have might not have addressed issues that I could have done.
Thank you, DG Lombard. On the other matters that have been raised in particular, there was a question around the issue of stoppages of projects, and I just wanted to approach it in this particular fashion.
Sorry, Basti, you must switch on with your camera, please.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. The issue around the projects that have been stopped, each building has a useful life, and we always want to maintain that and prolong the useful life for as long as possible. And there are some of the investment decisions that get done in a particular facility or property to ensure that its useful life is prolonged. And when we stop a project within the design phase, which is in a refurbishment project, it then further deteriorates the condition of that building. And at a time when we want to resuscitate the process, we may find that there are certain elements that have now degraded more than when they were at a point where it was stopped, and it increases the capital expenditure that is then budgeted on that project. And if we look at projects that are now in a group, the matter gets becomes exponential, because now you have more of these facilities that have to be re-looked at because of the fact that they've been remaining there for longer, and the useful life has decreased and deteriorated further, and the upkeeping of those facilities to bring them back to better conditions will be a bit more expensive. My colleague has touched on the matter around the military free base, around the 2 million versus the 70 million. I'm not going to touch on that. There was a particular slide, number 8, in the DOD presentation, which was also reflecting on projects which were reflected as savings. And these projects, for example, AMS, are projects, if we can be given a go-ahead, they had already reached a point where Public Works had brought the facilities to a procurement stage, and we were at a point of adjudication and award. And with a go-ahead, we can know within the next 2 months, I can give the committee assurance that work can start to commence in this particular facility. The other one is Loftus, which is also mentioned. This building has gone through the design and the development stage, and it is at a point where it is now tender ready. And if we are given a go-ahead, this facility within the next few months, it will now be in construction. And all the challenges that have been mentioned by Jody on this particular slide will be alleviated. Then we do have the Dolomite Risk Project, which deals with the maintenance and the refurbishment of the Dolomite within the Tabatswani area. This particular project is currently at the adjudication stage. We've had some challenges with our adjudication processes. This project, I think, has been there for a month or so, but I am hoping that it will be adjudicated soon. There were other questions around the general challenges that are faced by Public Works, and I think the Honourable Minister has addressed the key challenge around the matter of exorbitant construction costs. And our treatment plan for that is in accordance to what the minister has guided, that there is a process in place currently to put a cost guide and benchmarking for construction costs for the Department of Public Works, and that will be gazetted accordingly. There are other challenges that were also highlighted by the committee, project management and challenges around contract management in particular. And we have a number of treatment plans that we are looking into. We have gone through an HR process where we are embarking on a recruitment drive to fill in vacant positions in the project management space. But we also realize that the cohort of project managers that we have are not necessarily skilled and developed at that particular level where we want them to be. And we have put together a number of training programs for our project managers in contract management, as we have realized that contract management is an area of weakness. We've also, through the direction of the current Acting Director General, Dr. Mwemi, looked into the project pipeline of the Department of Public Works to stratify it, looking into the projects that are sitting in the design phase, how many are those projects, what are the delays around those particular projects, what are the projects that are sitting in the procurement stages, what is the age analysis of those projects, the ones that are sitting in the construction phase, what is the age analysis of those projects as far as the completion of the project. And each one of the stages has a rescue plan that is put in place. For instance, we have realized that we have a number of projects that are quite higher than the capacity that we have to deliver those projects. And then we have introduced a number of mechanisms to fast track the delivery. We've introduced a matrix of panels that are being put in place to make sure that we can select service providers from panels. We are looking at panels for project managers that can also be put in place to alleviate the challenge of project managers not being able to get to their work on time and delivering these projects according to their KPIs. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, we believe we've addressed most of the questions, but if we have missed some, please alert us and we'll get the response. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister Sibili and Team DPWI. Minister Mugisa, please, your take on the questions and the comments that have been made by both the committee members and the DPWI. Thank you, Minister, and once you have made your input, then you can call on your team to come in. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be very brief. I want to agree with the two men. And the reason why I want to agree with the two men, to come back to this discussion and to this committee on the way plans, we are still re-looking at the skill set, as I said earlier on, in the finance department. We also have insisted that we wanted to see that skill set expanded into the CLOC environment. And by the default, we would also have some sitting with the work community, because it is important for us to be following
the
minister.
Minister, you had indicated at the beginning that you are having network challenges and you can get there. You can switch off your computer.
Thank you. From my experience, okay, is that if you have a project run by public works, provincially and nationally, it is better to have your own persons on site, just following up on behalf of the department. If you don't do that, Minister, you run into problems. You run into contractual problems. You run into extended queues. You have nobody who is looking out of the interest of the particular department. And therefore, it is always important that we also look at that point. I am saying this because I do believe that the Department of Defense is not made up of angels. And that is why I'm insisting that I'm looking at the financial competencies within the department. And as soon as I can be reassured that we've got the right people, we've got the right understanding between the civilian and the military part of components of DOD, then I do not mind us having that discussion, Minister Zinu, and taking it to the head of state to say, devolve. Because I think it is important for us to do that. I want to make it a stupid example. 2 years ago, a fridge is bought for the Speaker of the National Assembly. Their fridge had not been working for years in the house, in the official house. The fridge is delivered. It is not boxed. It has dents. And therefore, as it is delivered, I ask, where are the warranty papers? Because already I see the dents. That fridge has never worked. I don't know whether it was footstools. I don't know whether it was shock doors. But the fact of the matter is that discomfort about how procurement happens, how contracts are serviced in public works cannot be overstated because there is an issue there, Minister. There is an issue in public works, which also makes spending and repairing in other departments be affected. So I would simply say, for me, the issue is deep, and that issue has to do with the department, not with the ministry. And we must make a distinction there. I would also say that we also have to say that the dolomitic problems, yes, let's deal with that. But you see, it is important for us not to stop General Lidwaba fixing the barracks, fixing the messes, because you see, until we can get all the members of the defense in uniform back into the barracks, we have an issue, yeah, morale and discipline. You can't have members who depend on public transport to arrive at the base and get there late because of public transport. You can't have a situation like that. So for me, I'd like to run a department that really gets back to military discipline, punctuality, dress codes, the cleanliness, all those things, because they contribute to the image of the defense. But it is important to us also to have members in safe places. And that is why that maintenance budget is good that it is increased, because some of the things that have really improved the life for the members of the defense is fixing the bathroom, replacing the dripping tanks, replacing the tiles that are broken. Simple things which take months to get fixed from the Department of Public Affairs. So I'm simply saying, as Ndadeli Dwaba and Dr. Gamete come back in, those would be the small things that we must do. And if we can fix those things by ourselves, I don't know why we should be letting Department of Public Works take 3 weeks to replace clothes. And that happens. So some development of simple things must be done within a department itself. But also then we must be able to say, on this particular thing, do that and do that. On one meal, we are ready. We have actually agreed as the DOD that all the uniform members, past and present, must be charged criminally. We have no problems with that. What we want to also hear is that there is movement in the members of public works who are part of that mess, who in fact brought in the companies which We would want to see a completion of that project, Yawanim. And yes, we, even as we complete it, we would want to go back to the, that shiny example of a hospital with treated heads of faith. But this time around, Honorable Mare would be happy, not for free, because that's part of the reason why when need went down, that we would afford the KPC, we would not charge, and my counterpart, Minister of Defense, so this time we will be charging if we can get that project back on track, finished in record time, so that it's the prestige of the that comes back. 2 mil is under review. It does not need as much of an effort as 1 mil did, but hopefully we can do that very quickly and get things fixed, get respectability back into the defense. I would then ask that Mega and General take over and respond to the questions important to come back to this discussion. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister. I'll give to General Midwaba to respond to detailed questions. But from my side, I am committing to making sure that
you muted yourself, Damek.
I'm sorry, I apologize for that. I was saying from my side, I am committing to, and I'll address the sector about this, to making sure that this interdepartmental committee, once the new participants from DPW have been appointed, is functional and effective, so that we try and prevent us having to come to this committee and speaking with different from different angles. Chair, in the department, we make it our responsibility as staff officers that we go to the ministers only in areas where we are not agreeing, and so we will try to make sure that this committee, I think, is key and should be functional in order to advise our principals appropriately. But on the detail, I'll give to General Rigaba to respond. General, through you, Chair. Thank you.
Yes, yes, General. You can hear me.
Thank you so much. First, I need to say that we really appreciate this opportunity, and it is now, it has moved, and we hope that we will maintain the momentum. I just want to ask Minister there that the report you are asking about, the DPW has already the report of Abaca on one military hospital that is on the REM. DPW is responsible for the REM, and even now it is still responsible for whatever elements of the REM which are remaining. And I just want to remind Mr. Mukoti that the roof of one military hospital, which actually damaged our good work at 7 o'clock, and we have been reporting there is a lot of correspondence, is still a problem. And so that is the function of DPW now up to now. But in terms of power taking over from 2040, Honorable Minister, so we have taken over the issues which the Minister of Defense has indicated, they are to be addressed, and then we should be able to go forward. I'm happy that that it is confirmed that the participants of the task group, this time around, they will be serious. Honorable Minister, Mr. Maruha,
can hope. Because a long time ago, MBS, they appointed some division to official, Mr. Aswan. But they will just do the instruction, and we are hoping that that committee will either be reinforced or be replaced. And then we will then also try to make sure that the next time when our ministers appear in front of this committee, this legal framework must have been dealt with, because we have got legal practitioners within the Defense Force, there are legal practitioners within the CWI. So we will then make sure that we request that to form an agenda of this panel, which is now going to be put into the minister. So that before we come here again, we must have resolved that. It is a simple thing, but I think there is some way where we talk about one another, and I don't want to go further in discussing the legal framework we'll discuss at that level. Now, Honorable Chairperson, and now I also call on Treasurer. We are also frustrated in the sense of that the project status 1-4 has been stopped or through frozen. But just given the context, we were allocated 840 million year on year. Now, in 2019, you are told that 840 is now 197. So this intervention, which I applaud the guidance which we got from BCW, that indeed, that is the task kingdom, that is the team of Mr. Maroka, that the only way out now, whilst we are still seeking for funding, we cannot go on committing what we do not have. Otherwise, we are going to embarrass the state. So our request is, indeed, we need these projects which have been frozen to be unfrozen. But can we get them funded, please? And the thing for our side, I think we are appealing that if you take us back to 840 million per year, that should be able to address that. All the interventions of saving here and there, which will take, will be utilized to address other emergencies. But in order to implement the facility strategy, which is advanced, when you look at the investigations we have done already in the DOD, we are at a stage where we are we can start now producing sense of what kind of buildings and which buildings can we take within the next 5 to 10 years. So the strategy on replacement of this is far ahead than the investigations that we've done. It engages with the Department of Water Affairs, everybody else, to say that where we are going to be building can be confirmed and so on. So all those things are put in place. They are made. The other aspects, I think I've addressed all these things, but then I just want to come back to some point. One of the chapters, and I didn't want to talk to this, but I'm forced because we have mentioned that the AMS is a problem of sitting on level 8 dollar mine. Now, I'm concerned that Mr. Fonti is talking of those, their project is great and so on. Honorable Chairman, we stopped that project. And Mr. Fonti knows about it. We wrote a formal letter to say, Fonti, you are trying to fix this thing, it is called dollarized level 8. And any time it can collapse or take on people. Now, we have set up the plan ourselves to say, we are going to move them out there before the building falls on them. But as the scientists from the Council for Geosciences, they asked us if we are there, if we agree to the project, which must continue on level 8 dollar mine. And people are staying there. And by the way, there is already a building next to the stadium there, next to where we will parade. The same type of buildings as those ones, which has disappeared in the past year, just disappeared into the soil. Now we do not want that occurrence. And while hopefully we still have the land, we would want to get the funding to immediately move those people out there and then start with the construction. So Mr. Mpoti, please, you can do any other thing but don't talk about AMS, because you are aware of the problem. We are talking to you officially to say this is another 8 dollar mine, we agree. So lockdowns and others, we have got no problem. We hope that you will live up to that one. people just can't see in Tower 20. That is for the center army headquarters. Lomas is still stuck there. Cabrera, it's the same thing. Cabrera and Kipasol. 14 sites which we discussed earlier, we also need you to bring to your head and then deal with that one. For me, if you were to say that these projects are in the pipeline, we are ready. Just because they are not through, there's no funding. Then we can agree. But we cannot agree on the payment which is this. We have gone to embarrass our principal if we proceed with payments in this and six. Honorable Chairperson, I want to say that we thank you so much and we really appreciate the support. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, General Dwaba. Before I let the two teams go, let me check. Honorable Peter, you want to say something? Honorable Peter, she's having connectivity challenges. Okay, Honorable Kaito.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I just want to quickly ask, I've heard the gentleman from the Public Works project saying something around running 25,000 projects around the department in the country, but there is a lack of funding for that. But my understanding from the reading from the expenditure report, there is an element of, underspending. Now, I want to know from him or from the gentleman, does he mean that the underspending itself is not sufficient to can cover the same project that he was referring to? Otherwise, I would have a problem. Secondly, Chair, I don't want us as a committee to play a role of, accomplices to what has been said here. Instance of threat towards the lives of the people, as outlined by General Dwaba with regard to Dolomite Level 8, maybe it's proper that we recommend that matter, which has been raised there as posing a threat, it be attended accordingly and urgently as the need, as it's being arranged, so that we are not being seen as playing a role of accomplice to the thing which was put before the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Tanso. Honorable Sheikh Imam, the minister spoke about, and Minister Tidin spoke about the problem of inflated prices. I know it's one of your issues that you always raise. Do you want to say something around that?
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll share my status with you next month. that is a major concern. A couple of years ago, it was estimated that we lose in the tune of about 40% on goods and services, which at that stage accumulated to about 240 billion rand a year, which is now perhaps about 350 billion rand a year, just because we don't get that. And if you look at, take that into consideration with what the Department of Defense is talking about, the quality of the workmanship and things that has been provided, overseen by the Department of Public Works, it is a matter for very serious concern. And I want to appeal, to the departments that they need to, not only rely on Treasury to be able to identify mechanisms that they could put in place to close these. Because we talk about the delivery of services in the country and many people are protesting and we often say we don't have the money. But you can imagine where all this money is going to, which resulted in us creating about 17,500 millionaires and multi-millionaires who put very little back into the economy. But anyway, that's a major concern for me. But the other thing is that I want to say, you know, when I wanted to give some clarity, because I think Public Works is not sure about what they understand, what Department of Defense is talking on about maintenance. But from my own perspective, not actually answering for Department of Defense, I think when we talk about maintenance, is to the extent the buildings are not maintained, that you will find in a hospital for 5 weeks and 6 weeks or 2 months, patients will have to be carried from the ground floor to the seventh and eighth floor because of poor maintenance. Or where the Department of Labor comes in and condemns the entire building because of the poor state of the building. So because of the lack of maintenance over a period of time, these are some of the challenges that they will actually face. And then I want to talk about the issue of, you know, we were, again, the matter came up on the issue of the 70 million that was spent compared to the 1.2 billion. But the important point here, Chairperson, is what the Department of Defense is saying, that they've achieved the objective of what they wanted at a cost of 70 million, saving you 1.1 or 30 billion rand. That is what the point is. So, and it comes back to that issue of value for money, more often than not. How much you can, more you can do with less, and that is not what is happening. And lastly, I just want to tell you, again, I want to know from both departments. I know the Department of Defense were in very good hands, and they actually, this is talking about even pre-1994, where they've had expertise, they've had skills when it came to maintenance and things. I'd like to know whether they have still maintained that level of supremacy, if that's the term I should use, in terms of being able to not only defend the country and its people, but also maintain and things, and whether the Department of Public Works indeed has the capacity. Because Jefferson, year in and year out, department after department has been raising concerns about the Department of Public Works, which prompted me to say you should shut this department down and let everybody do their own maintenance. Now, and often, you know, we blame some of the ministers. Ministers come and go, they put in the deep end. It's not necessarily easy for them to deal with it. So I'd like them to tell us that whether they both have the capacity to be able to deal with these issues. And lastly, I think, I'm not sure if that question, because I was concentrating on another meeting, on the amount of money that we lose. Coming back to valuable, again, it's on escalation when there's delays and the projects don't kick off and things like that. Because there is a loophole in the entire procurement system. And first of all, they move in and they get site establishment, even if they just put one to fence there, they're claiming money. And then they just, that's the kick off the trade. The second thing is people are getting paid before they complete the job. That's the other problem. I think yesterday you raised a serious issue of middlemen, where of the subcontracting, where people are just making money where they know nothing about the contract and they just make money out of it, and others are doing the work. You know, and there you're not getting value for money as well. You know, so I would like to understand how much of money is it costing us because of the failure of this department, particularly Public Works, in ensuring, and the loss to the Department of Defense, who has to answer for spending over expenditure and failing to implement and things like that. What is it costing us, the taxpayers of this country? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Sheikh Imam. We are more or less nearing the end, but I'll allow the minister to speak. And the different departments to respond to the issues that have been raised. And I definitely take advantage of the minister being here, although issues I'm going to raise are not related to the issue of devolution. I just wanted to check with Minister Mugisa. cleaning project. Remember, there was a lot of other value around this and so on, and what's happening around this project. Number two, and Minister, the question that has always bothered me, you have got the defense in many of the countries in the diaspora. So I just want to check that what's the strategy of putting out of these countries, because it costs us money to be there, and you know it's a good cause, but when we decide that we pull out of this country, I may be wrong, but my hypothesis is that once we are there, we are there forever. I would like to hear your views on this one. Minister Delis, I just wanted to check with you that we are dealing with the challenges that the public work is having with the department national. What is your take about a similar problem or problem in the provinces? I'm sure in the next we talk about this, but I'd just like to hear your views on that. Yeah, let's start with Minister Delis again.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, some of
Can I
proceed, Honorable Chair?
Please proceed.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Chair. Yes, we are discussing some of these issues in the MINMAC meeting. But as you know, that public works and infrastructure is a concurrent power. So where the buildings and land belongs to national public works, there we are able to release some of the land and some of the buildings for our new strategy, which is the refurbished operating transfer. The provinces are now also looking at a similar strategy so that they can also begin to, at the provincial level, leave provincial-owned properties to provincial departments. Through you, Chairperson, at this one point, I wanted to advise National Treasury on the use of savings on page number 8. That the DOD is making a reference to. There is, what I can see, a 2005 framework for the devolution of budgets and introduction of accommodation charges. So if Treasury wants to review that, they must please also look at that framework. One point raised by Honorable Member of the National Freedom Party, and also raised by Chairperson, is that our project manager ratio. In DPWI, you can have one project manager that are dealing with between 15 and 20 projects. And also, when the various departments are, they've got the allocated budget, for say 10 projects for the year that they want public works to do, public works will then put all 10 projects on our budget, on our project pipeline. I've now changed that. I said you will only put projects of a department on your project pipeline once you have received the budget. Because some of these projects, they don't receive the budget, but it's part of their pipeline. Then, Chairperson, the other exercise that we have done is that sometimes the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, they delegate or they sign a service level agreement with an implementing agent like UHA, DBSA, or IDP. I've now asked for a list of all the defense projects that has been delegated to these agencies. We have called the agencies already to give us progress on that project that they are doing for us because there is not the capacity within public works. But this person, this lack of capacity has also become an excuse for inefficiency and incompetence. So we can't use lack of capacity as an excuse, because the Department of DPSA, DPSA approves structures for every department, and there's an organogram. And if you have all of those positions filled in your branch, in your department, you can't use the excuse of lack of capacity. And in the next meeting, we will share with the honorable members the plans that we put in place, the remedial actions that we have done. But as I was saying, I will agree that we still have a long way to go. So those are just my last input, Chairperson.
Thank you, Minister Philippe. Minister Mkhize, please. Minister Mkhize, are you there?
May I come in, sir?
Please do.
Yes, I'm here, sir. You asked us whether we are still involved in the Vaal River.
Yes, Minister.
The defense was approached, indeed. It was happy to participate in the cleanup. Do they have the required skills? Yes, they have. Did defense fail to fix the Vaal River? No, they did not. They were removed and some other people were put in. That was my first question to General De Dopa when I became minister. Would we be prepared to go back and finish up what we started? The answer was yes, we would be prepared to go and fix that because the required skills are there. And we're saying this, Chair, because there's a number of skills that are not easily available out there in the public within defense. As they used to x-ray buildings from top to bottom, whatever. That IT is a defense funded and exploited one. So you have a very, very interesting skills within the Department of Defense. And we can do what we set up to do. Your second question was, this deployment, international deployment, can we walk away from them? That is a question which we from time to time, are asked. That is the question which we have been seriously being forced to confront. And one of the questions that South Africans put to us is, well, is there a peace dividend? Why are we there? What do we get as a country? So far, we get to try and save as many lives as possible. So far, we get to expose our youngsters to real war and that experience of fighting. So far, we are hard put as far as overstretching our resources into this. Can we pull out? We can't pull out because even as we contemplate pulling out, the United Nations puts us back and says, but you have the best fighters in the world, we need you. We have in fact been asked by the United Nations to consider not only contributing troops, but to also try and take out our things out of the mothballs and to contribute equipment. That way, we think we can earn more to be able to fix more of our stuff and to even replace more of our stuff if we do that. So we intend to do that, to look at the other side where we have not been playing, fix and contribute our equipment and earn earnings from there because other countries have been doing that. That is the DRC. The situation in Mozambique, can we walk away from it? It is too close to home. And sometimes we suspect that, in fact, the target might actually be South Africa, not just Mozambique. And therefore, until we are told to act otherwise as defense, we will be in place. We will try and keep away this you will know, Chairperson, that the issue in Mozambique has been playing on for years. In the late 90s, we followed up the transportation, the small arms from right up there down here, and nothing was done about that. But even if we say we remove our troops from the two countries, we have an added burden of having been to patrol the coastal areas up to Tanzania and up to Angola. So that responsibility still sits with us. And that is why we have been on a beggar mission to say, re-equip us, because we've got three responsibilities towards the region and towards Africa. So in the long term, we are looking at that eventuality. We have taken to every 3 months as the COD to look at those matters and to say, do we really, what advice can we give to the head of state should this question arise? So we continuously are in our position. Right. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Minister. Any official from DPWI wants to throw in something in the questions that were raised? No? And anything from Defense? General Izaba? No?
Okay,
that's fine. I think let's move towards the end of the meeting. As we close, let me start by where Minister started. I think as Minister, we really would like to see our defense force building on the skills that are there. You know, there are so many things that they can do. I think Mr. Minister spoke about the bridges that have been built in conjunction with the defense force. We need to enhance that. You know, the problems of soldiers who are just kept in the barracks. So, but when they do this again, they are seem to be helping the communities. I think we should continue sharpening that, and I think it's a very important element in us trying to create a capable state. And I would request you to follow up on this thing of the Vice Chairman, whoever is responsible, to see we can start this project and just give them midway without completing them. I think that's I just wanted to make that comment, and then say to other members and people on the platform and the ministers of the department. The soldier in me says, you know, to have civilians in military environment in the barracks and so on, it's not a good thing. It's a big risk. So these things that the soldiers can do themselves, I think we should really rush to them doing those things rather than having civilians. Some of these things are outsourced. Civilians are coming in and out of these military barracks. And military environment is supposed to be an area which is reserved for the soldiers and not civilians. So I think that's just that it's a security issue again from our side. But looking at how far we're going to be, I think we have seen a willingness from both ministers and both departments to work together, identify the problems and come up with challenges. All what we can say from our side is the committee that we have our support, and we definitely would like to interact with you in the next 2 months. Also, the issues that you have started identifying here, which are the areas which should form a part of your agenda. The common understanding of the legal framework, I think it's very important that you read from the beginning and agree what is legal framework. We have raised dolomite. So definitely, I agree with Honorable Kaiso. We should avoid calamities because we need to find all of us being responsible for that. As the comments were in there, and we saw that, and people say, "Why did you say?" So we are saying to you, means that let's make sure that whatever solution we come up with, we don't endanger the soldiers and anybody who works there. Ideally, in our next meeting, we'd like to see one presentation, a joint presentation, which would have been agreed upon by both departments, basically saying that when we came and met you on the 2nd of September, these are the issues that we raised as the issues which are a challenge. That's what we have done. This is what, how far we've moved. We are still having these that we are attending to. But we definitely would like to see a progress. As I'm saying, ideally, we'd like to see one presentation from both departments. And lastly, to thank all of you from the department, but most importantly, the two ministers. I know they've got very busy schedules, and they are here the whole session, and they're not just being here, they're providing leadership on the issues and the challenges that we have raised. And as a committee, we definitely wish you well, and you are helping our support as you try to navigate a very difficult environment. But for me, what is going to emerge from your working together will serve as a case study for other departments, especially around this revolution area and so on. And the police have been raised here, the issue of police and so on. And I'm sure again, being what they are, again, the issues of security and then being, I think, an area that you also like to fact check. Honourable Ministers, Minister of Department of Public Works, Infrastructure, Minister of Defence, your support, your staff and everybody, thank you very much for the time. You may continue being in the meeting, but you are excused for us to continue with our agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Jerry, do we have anything from your side?
Chairperson, no, nothing from my side. Next meeting is next week, Wednesday, Chairperson.
We are meeting Prasa. As I was indicating that, as you can see, most of the departments that now or even issues that we meeting people around more around understanding and so on. So please prepare for that meeting, and therein share the letter or letters that we'll send to the department that will be meeting next week, so that the other members can start preparing themselves. Honourable members, support staff and the voters on the platform, thank you very much for coming to this meeting on the Friday. Hope to see you next week.
Thanks,
Chairman.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Yes, Mosa. John.
It is beautiful, sir. We're near weekend entry now. Okay.